Women in Engineering, Book 4, Follow Your Curiosities, Finding Success Through Learning, by Jacqueline K. Nagel, Ph.D., read for you by Kat Lukabaugh. Introduction. I did not understand the value of growing up in Kansas City, Kansas, until after I left. The Midwest instilled in me both kindness and a work ethic that society is losing as we become more digitally connected. I also believe everything happens for a reason, and it's up to the individual to see the bigger picture and figure out how things are connected. Figuring out the big picture takes practice and reflection, something that, as an introvert, I've become good at. My life is balanced between art and science. What I call hands-on and minds-on. I need to work with both sides of my brain, making objects with my hands and also solving problems or challenges. I don't fear trying things or of going outside my comfort zone. I do fear failure. And when I do fail, I am disappointed, but then I try again. I actually learn more from failure. My whole life is about following my curiosities and learning. Staying true to myself and my interests has allowed me to be successful. Jacqueline K. Nagel. Pre-college years. I grew up as an only child in the Polish-Slovenian-Croatian area of Kansas City known as Strawberry Hill. Many family members on my mother's side lived on the same block, including my grandmother. Being part of this close-knit community gave me a strong sense of family, although I was an only child and my parents were divorced. My technological interests began early. I was always curious and wanted to know how everything worked. In school, science was my favorite class. I loved learning about our world and the reasons behind the phenomena I observed. I especially enjoyed experiments to test a hypothesis or to see what would happen during a project. It was exhilarating to get the result, especially when it matched my hypothesis. Growing up, playing games and solving puzzles were my passions. I loved board games, brain teasers, and logic puzzles. Whenever my mom and I went out, I always took a puzzle book or later a Game Boy. When I got a Nintendo Entertainment System, NES, and began playing video games, I started strategizing puzzle solutions. Tetris is still my favorite video game, and I can sit for hours putting the blocks together. Computers excited me so much that by seventh grade, I had saved up $2,200, all my birthday and holiday money, to buy my own, an Apple Performa 635 CD. I learned how to work with software and eventually the hardware when I installed upgrades, such as a faster CD-ROM. When I wasn't busy with computers and games, I played sports. In middle school, I was on the basketball, volleyball, softball, and track teams. But by high school, I had narrowed it down to volleyball and softball, plus the drill team. Arts and crafts indulged my creative side. I enjoyed the freedom I had with art, coloring outside the lines if I wanted. Whatever I made was just that, something I made. The results gave me a deep sense of pride and joy. Now I primarily knit to express my creativity. My mother once told me, probably when I was working with her at the gas station, if you are going to do something, do it right the first time. Her words have remained with me. I work hard to get a task done to an acceptable level of quality and then move on. I make sure the work gets done. Working hard to do it right the first time sustained me through what was to come in college. Although I'd sensed early on that I would someday work in a technical field, I didn't learn about engineering until high school. There, I took every relevant course available: physics, chemistry, biology, how to use the internet, and three drafting courses. Drafting required 2 years of pencil and paper drawing before using CAD programs and appealed to both my creative and technical sides. My drafting teacher, Mr. Roland, explained what engineers do in a way that greatly appealed to me. "Engineers solve problems," he said. I went into engineering because I wanted to solve problems as a career. I didn't know or care that engineering is still a predominantly male field. I was so excited there was a field devoted to solving problems that it never crossed my mind. I was more worried about how I was going to pay for it. No one in my family is an engineer, so I had to be resourceful in learning about my options. Since I would pay for my education myself, finding the right tuition assistance would be a key factor. While searching for financial aid and college programs, I decided to attend a community college for 2 years and then transfer to a 4-year institution to complete a bachelor's degree. My mother was unsure this was a good plan, but my research showed community college was the right fit. Large college classes terrified me, but community college classes were smaller and the professors seemed approachable. Thanks to my high school achievements, 11th in my class, I secured funding for 2 years at Kansas City, Kansas Community College, KCKCC, all tuition and books paid for. I never viewed community college as an easier option or a lesser experience. It was both a stepping stone to my dream and a contingency plan. My associate's degree in pre-engineering would provide many of the general education courses I needed before moving on to a 4-year institution, and also a degree to fall back on, in case I could not finish the bachelor's degree. After all, I was paying for my education, and only a few people in my family had attended college. I was uncertain whether I would make it, but I could still get a job with a 2-year degree. Pre-college lessons learned. 1. The ability to work independently as well as on a team set me apart and fostered my success, especially when I had no one to ask for help. 2. Being resourceful helps to build problem-solving skills. And 3. Problem-solving is not gender-specific, which I learned, at least partly, in physics class when I was the only one with the right answer. Undergraduate years. After my first semester of classes at KCKCC, I was invited to join the Honor Society, Phi Theta Kappa, PTK. PTK offered opportunities to help me develop professionally and build strengths in scholarship, fellowship, service, and leadership. But what really drew me in was the people. They listened to what I had to say, and for the first time, I felt others were listening to me and valuing my perspective. My PTK involvement also showed me where I needed to improve, such as public speaking and leadership, so I sought opportunities to improve these areas and gained confidence in my abilities. PTK also taught me the value of being part of an organization, something bigger than myself. Our hard work resulted in being recognized in 2002 as the internationally most distinguished chapter out of 1,250 worldwide chapters. What an achievement! Also, I received the 2001 Phi Theta Kappa Internationally Distinguished Member Award, only 25 are given out each year, and the College's Service Award. My PTK work would eventually lead to my unconditional involvement in the Society for Women Engineers, SWE, which I joined in 2001. While attending KCKCC, I spent my weekends, holidays, and summers working at Target to earn money to pay for my vehicle and other needs. I started as a cashier, and by the time I left, I had worked in every area of the store, including the food court. In 2002, I completed my associate's degree with honors. I had chosen what was then known as the University of Missouri at Rolla, or UMR, because it offered excellent financial assistance, along with a good curriculum and rate of graduates securing full-time jobs at graduation. At the time, 95% of undergraduates had jobs before they walked across the graduation stage, which gave me a sense of security. In 2007, the university was renamed Missouri University of Science and Technology. I chose electrical engineering because of all the things I'd ever taken apart to understand how they worked. The mystery of the circuit board continually captivated me. I could see how the mechanisms worked, but what intrigued me the most was what I could not see or feel. I transferred into the electrical engineering program at UMR in fall 2002, ready to learn about those components and how they come together on a circuit board to create a working device. Transferring to a new university was rough, and my first semester at UMR was hardest. Everything was new. I was also living away from home for the first time. I adapted, although it was harder to have a regular schedule, similar to the one I had had in community college. Something was happening around me at every moment, and I wanted to be part of it, which affected my studies. That first semester, I earned my first and only C in college. But I also began to meet new people, and I joined the collegiate sections of SWE and IEEE. Cooperative Education Experiences. During my first semester at UMR, I also attended a career fair to look for summer employment. I was unsure what industry I was looking for, but after interviewing with several companies, Kimberly-Clark Corporation, KC, made me an offer. Wow! In my first semester, after transferring from a community college, I'd secured a cooperative education co-op experience with a multinational consumer products company. Usually, a co-op opportunity requires working for a company during the summer or on alternate semesters while going to school. In this case, Casey wanted me January through May 2003. I accepted, but no sooner had I started getting comfortable in my new environment, I was moving out to work for a semester. My three cooperative education experiences for Kimberly-Clark made an enormous impact on my career. The first two took place from January through August 2003 at a manufacturing facility in Paris, Texas. The third was during the summer of 2004 at Casey's Corporate and Innovation Design Center in Neenah, Wisconsin. For the first co-op, I'd been hired to work as an electrical engineer, which meant I would experience the problem analysis, design, installation, and startup phases for new projects. Electrical engineering, or EE co-ops, also get to apply their technical training in an industrial environment, working with automated manufacturing control equipment, and to develop a broad understanding of EE practices needed to support high-speed automated manufacturing processes. Equally important, this experience would teach me how to apply engineering knowledge and thinking, how to function as part of an engineering team, how to work on several projects simultaneously, and how to fit within an organization. During my first week, my manager and I agreed on four projects I would complete by the end of my co-op. I understood exactly what deliverables he expected of me, but I would define everything in between. I was thrilled to be treated like an engineer and not as a student. To get me started, my manager tasked me with setting up introductory meetings with key people. I thought it was silly at the time, but the exercise turned out to be incredibly valuable. I knew my teammates and what they did for KC. I also knew who had what expertise throughout the plant, and I could now approach them for help if necessary. My team started each day at a 7 a.m. debrief meeting with night shift managers. I wasn't expected to attend after the first week, but I learned so much the first few days, I made it a habit to attend daily. My genuine curiosity about the organization served me well. By asking questions and listening to others, joining folks for breaks or lunch, and attending company functions, I was accepted. Being from Kansas also helped. Employees who were locals could identify with my Midwestern background and attitude and did not immediately write me off. Not all of my projects were glamorous or interesting. Because of a workplace injury that occurred just before I arrived, I was directed to label all the electrical receptacles in the plant with their circuit breaker number. I made the best of it, getting plenty of exercise walking back and forth between receptacles and cabinets, and enlisting others when I needed to be in two places at once. As April approached, I realized I was doing so well, I didn't want to leave. When I asked about staying on for the summer, my manager recommended me for a 3-month co-op position on the other side of the plant. In May, I transitioned from the side of the plant that made childcare products to the infant care side. Although they were both under the same roof, each unit operated independently and made different products. As a result, my work experience changed greatly. Now, my daily routine included watching the production data and fighting fires on the factory floor. My manager geared my projects toward reducing manufacturing waste and errors, but essentially, I was now a full-time engineer charged with adjusting the programmable logic controller, the heart and soul of a 24/7 automated manufacturing facility. My manager even gave me a first-of-a-kind project to reduce electromagnetic interference in a motor control cabinet that, if proven successful, would be rolled out to other infant care manufacturing facilities. My responsibilities had increased exponentially. In my third and last co-op experience with KC at the Corporate and Innovation Design Center location in Neenah the summer of 2004, I was part of a team working on developmental projects. I was independent, but a functional member of an EE team. I designed cabinets, checked technician work, tested machines, and worked in teams, along with mechanical, process, and pneumatics engineers, bringing my knowledge of the factory floor to development. It was the perfect ending to my Kimberly-Clark co-op, and I'm proud of my contributions. The experience also solidified my interest in working with multidisciplinary teams. Cooperative education lessons learned. 1. Treat everyone respectfully in a manufacturing facility and value the knowledge of technicians and operators. They know more about the machines than engineers do. 2. Function as a true member of the engineering team and help when someone else falls behind. Working toward team success leads to personal success. 3. Working with people from other disciplines differs from interacting with those from your own. Be prepared to explain without jargon and relate the material to what they know. And 4. Taking on challenges outside your domain expertise will help you to become a better problem solver and communicator. Plus, you'll better understand your colleagues' perspectives. Back to undergraduate studies. My Kimberly-Clark co-op experience was a defining point in my education. Until now, I had only heard about what engineers do. But the experience of getting to work and be regarded as an engineer changed both my viewpoint on college and my focus. I now had reason to work hard in college because I understood that I was working toward a career, not a degree. Before KC, I'd been driven to do well because no one in my family had studied engineering, and I had wanted to prove that I could follow my dream. But being treated and trusted as an engineer, seeing theory and practice, and understanding what real problem solving was about gave context to my degree. It also gave increased value to what my professors were teaching me. I now truly understood why my courses and labs were important and how they prepare a student for a successful engineering career. Education isn't about getting the right answer. It's about understanding the problem, learning what you need to solve the problem, critical thinking, resourcefulness, and justifying your choices. With my changed mindset and the new drive to complete my degree, I was unstoppable when I arrived back at UMR in August 2003. In the fall 2003 semester, I earned my first ever set of straight A's. I also pledged Eta Kappa Nu, HKN, the Honor Society for Electrical and Computer Engineers, as well as Tau Beta Pi, TBP. The Engineering Honor Society. I was now centered on learning and building my skills, not just getting a good grade. I began to stay after labs to play with the circuit, to answer what-if questions, and to get a better sense of how things worked. I thought I was being curious and having fun, or perhaps being a mad scientist, but what I was really doing was building an intuition. My KC co-op experiences steered my engineering interest toward automation and control systems because it is interdisciplinary, has a broad range of applications, and it's fun. I took 3 courses in this area, and these courses became my motivation for all my technical elective studies. Besides doing well in the factory automation courses, I now had work experience with factory automation. For these reasons, Dr. Kelvin Erickson, chair of the Electrical and Computer Engineering Department, asked me to be the lab teaching assistant for the factory automation course. Also around this time, professors were asking me to consider graduate school. My answer was always the same. No, that is not for me. I saw myself as a working engineer, applying the theory and research of others. I was also developing leadership skills outside the classroom through my involvement in SWE, HKN, and TBP. Besides being an officer in SWE, I was becoming involved with outreach programs that encourage middle and high school girls to consider STEM studies and careers. The activities were exciting and fun because I could share my own enthusiasm for engineering. Also, as an SWE leader, I could attend regional and national conferences that provided a wealth of professional development and networking opportunities. Each conference was exhilarating, and being around so many other female engineers reminded me why I belonged in the field. I became the president of our SWE collegiate section during my final year at UMR, and I was so enthusiastic about the organization that I even had a male officer on the board. I also impressed an SWE member employed by Caterpillar, Inc., who nominated me to be the collegiate representative on SWE's conference program board. That launched my society-level involvement with SWE. I learned that it's okay to be excited about what you are doing because it gets others excited, too. And as a female, I think it shows you really care. The culmination of my undergraduate years was being nominated to receive HKN's Alton B. Zerbe and Carl T. Koerner Outstanding Senior Electrical and Computer Engineering Student Award. I received an honorable mention, as well as a trip to Hawaii to accept the certificate. But that honorable mention really meant I was surrounded by caring professors who saw my potential and who wanted me to excel. I graduated from UMR with honors, magna cum laude, and with a 3.82 GPA. I made myself and my family proud. Undergraduate lessons learned. 1. To be successful in your coursework, develop strategies that allow you to balance your day. 2. I don't encourage everyone to have a job in college, but one unexpected benefit was the soak time it provided. Whether I was straightening products on shelves or ringing up guests, Target's word for customers, my brain got a rest from engineering studies. It helped me keep focused during the week. 3. Being curious about how things work helps develop an intuition for electrical devices, which assists with troubleshooting and designing. 4. Involvement in professional and honor societies allowed me to expand my network to those outside my university and geographical area. And 5. Taking on responsibility and leadership positions pushed me to work outside my comfort zone, helping me to strengthen my self-confidence. Graduate years. As my time at UMR drew to a close, I had 3 job offers, but my interests had evolved during my final year, and I was looking for a position that would allow me to work with manufacturing robotics. Recruiters consistently told me the same story. We cannot hire you because your background is not in mechanical engineering. 3 co-ops, coursework, and teaching experience in industrial automation and control systems were not enough to get the job I wanted. I was at a crossroad. Do I take one of the job offers, work my way through the company, and see what happens? Or do I get the credentials to work with manufacturing robotics and then go into the workforce? I saw the first option as letting fate lead the way. But I'd worked hard for 5 years to get my degree, and this opportunity would allow me to relax a little. I decided on the second course, take ownership of my future, and go after what I wanted. I wouldn't settle for anything less, or at least that's how I saw it at the time. Because of my undergraduate successes, I felt I could take on graduate school. Also, I'd considered getting a master's degree at some point, and now felt like the right time. UMR offered an attractive manufacturing program in mechanical and aerospace engineering with flexible coursework options that would permit me to continue with my emphasis area of control systems. I declined the job offers, deciding instead to go to graduate school for my MS and then enter the workforce. I was not going to get a PhD. And graduate school turned out to be much different than I expected. Master's work in UMR's laser-aided manufacturing process lab. All seemed well in my first weeks of graduate school. I met with professors about research opportunities, and I was interested in my classes. The director for UMR's manufacturing program, Dr. Frank Liu, told me about a research area that greatly excited me, the Laser-Aided Manufacturing Process, or LAMP, lab, where he, as the director, needed help automating the system. He showed me some metallic samples created by the LAMP, which is a manufacturing system that builds 3D metal parts using a layered deposition technique similar to 3D printers that use plastic. The work fascinated me, and I joined the lab as the only electrical engineer. I was super excited about my new research group, but my first semester as a graduate student was rough. My schedule and courses were different. I was still a TA for the factory automation course, and the demands on me never seemed to end. By midterm, I felt as if I was drowning. For the first time in my academic history, I withdrew from a course. That or fail all my courses. All the structure of my undergraduate years was gone, and I had no idea what I was doing. My struggle transitioned from a financial struggle to an internal struggle. I simply was not mentally prepared for the demands of graduate-level work. I felt defeated for the first time in my life. Had I made the right choice? I even wondered if someone like me, from humble roots, should be going to graduate school. I was unsure whether I had what it takes to be in a graduate program. While I'd done great things as an undergraduate, and many professors had seen my potential, I began to doubt myself. I did not have to convince everyone else that I was qualified to be there. Rather, I had to convince myself. After much reflection and working to adapt to my new way of life, I rebounded. Taking time over winter break to get away and think about matters helped tremendously. I met with my advisor to discuss what I should do differently. I also asked my lab mates for their advice. Here's what I realized. My mental model of graduate school was very different from what was actually expected of me. My mindset had been industry-focused. I had thought that grad school would be like an apprenticeship, and that I would work closely with my advisor every step of the way. Not hand-holding, but guided mentorship. I also thought there would be some kind of orientation to the lab and the research going on in it, similar to how I was brought on at Kimberly-Clark. I did not understand how much freedom and responsibility I had over my research, and that much of what I did and learned was up to me. I was waiting for my advisor to give me tasks and get me up to speed, much as a manager would. Once all this became clear to me, I understood what was expected of me as well as what I needed to do. My second semester in graduate school was much better. I started inquiring about how things worked, or what I needed to know, regularly checking in with my advisor on my research direction. I took responsibility for my research and defined what I wanted to do. I began to regain my confidence, doing well in all my courses, and becoming a resource for my lab mates. As the only EE, I took ownership of the electrical aspects of the LAMP system, and I helped in that capacity when needed. Primarily, I kept the control and data acquisition system and all the sensors functional, but I also helped with any other electrical tasks. I liked being the EE among the mechanical and metallurgical engineers. I also liked that we supported each other as well, teaching and learning from each other. As soon as the internal struggle ended, the financial struggle returned. I sought out scholarships for graduate students involved in manufacturing automation, especially scholarships offered by professional societies that related to my experience, and for which I could provide reference letters. That alignment landed me two scholarships. Also, being the TA for the factory automation course provided some financial support, but it also helped to keep me feeling grounded to my EE roots. allowing me to keep my ties with the ECE department and feel at home. During winter break of my first year in graduate school, I went to Chicago, and while there, I visited the Museum of Science and Industry. A toy exhibit featured a fully automated assembly line with Monoman manufacturing robots. As soon as I saw it, I knew I had to work for this company. When I inquired about summer internships, I really had to make my case, as UMR was not one of the school's Monoman targets for interns. Ultimately, my passion for automation and my experience positioned me well. I was offered an internship for the summer of 2006. This particular internship was an opportunity to build my expertise in manufacturing robotics. At Monoman in Dayton, Ohio, I learned how to program a robot, weld with a robot, write safety code, and much more. Also that summer, my mentor and I successfully commissioned 3 robot work cells. I realized what excited me about manufacturing robotics is not what engineers do, but what technicians do. This experience was very informative. I learned a great deal about what I wanted in a career. Throughout my master's degree, I remained involved with professional societies. I was a leader in the local section of IEEE graduates of the last decade, GOLD, and Women in Engineering, WIE, as well as on SWE's Society Conference Program Board. These opportunities allowed me to continue honing my soft skills and to develop my own voice. I was no longer an undergraduate, and I felt a greater responsibility to contribute my viewpoint. I also continued to attend the annual SWE Society conferences. Attending these conferences gave me time to break away from the daily routine of graduate school and celebrate being a female engineer. At the conferences, I made new connections, rekindled old ones, and attended professional development sessions. I finished my master's research and graduated with my MS in Manufacturing Engineering in May 2007. While automating the lamp system, I had worked with a variety of sensors, and I had developed a curiosity for design, specifically sensor design. I wanted to know who gets to make design decisions, what the design process is, and whether I could design sensors. I was at another decision-making stage in my career, to PhD or not to PhD. Also, I was now engaged, and I did not want to move far away and wait to be with Robert, my future husband, who had just started working on his PhD at UMR. I would have to move from Rolla to get full-time work, and after thinking it through, I decided to stay. While considering whether to work toward another MS or a PhD, I started inquiring about sensor and design-related research. But this time, I would need full funding. If I worked toward a PhD, I would be eligible for the Chancellor's Fellowship, which covered all tuition. Moreover, the professor of the Design Engineering Lab, where my fiancé worked, offered a stipend and health insurance if I worked toward a PhD. My track toward a PhD was clear. After taking a month to consider the pros and cons, including which doors would open and which would close, I embraced the PhD track. Doctoral studies at UMR and OSU Design Engineering Laboratory. In my conversations with Dr. Robert Stone, then director of UMR's Design Engineering Lab, he mentioned he had funding for research in biomimicry applied to engineering design theory. At first, I didn't understand what he was talking about, since I didn't even know what biomimicry was, and I had only a vague idea about engineering design. He gave me a few days to find out more about biomimicry and to think over his offer. When I researched the topic, it was fascinating and wonderful. I had never considered combining biology, engineering, and design, and the idea excited me. The interdisciplinary approach also appealed to me, and I could see how this research would allow me to learn new things while also drawing on my breadth of knowledge. I had noticed that few researchers were applying biomimicry to sensor design and envisioned myself filling that niche. Dr. Stone accepted my proposal to research integrating biomimicry and engineering design with applications to sensors. In June 2007, I joined the Design Engineering Lab as a doctoral student. I had reached an interesting point in my career. I was transitioning from an electrical engineer focused on industrial control and manufacturing into an electrical engineer using design from a systems perspective. Over that first summer as a PhD student, I extensively researched bio-inspired engineering design, and biomimetic sensors. I knew what to do now and was comfortable charting my own research path. This part of my journey was my time to carve out an area of research that I was enthused about and that could make significant contributions to the field of engineering design. I read everything I could find on bio-inspired design. Since I hadn't taken a biology course since high school, I retaught myself the biology of sensing. Additionally, I was learning about engineering design. I was immersed in interdisciplinary studies and loving it. Moving into a PhD program, I had considered that I might go into academia as a career. As a result, I continued to take on teaching roles in addition to research. I was no longer the TA for the factory automation course, but I did TA and develop labs for the introductory circuits course. Again, I liked having the balance between feeling at home in electrical engineering and also pushing myself outside my comfort zone in bio-inspired design research. In my second year, Dr. Erickson gave me the opportunity to teach the junior level factory automation course, which I had taken as an undergraduate, and oversee the lab TAs. I was overjoyed because overseeing the lab gave me the chance to experience what it's really like to teach a course. Besides the responsibility, it was exciting, especially the moments when I could actually see the students learning. Outside the college classroom, I continued to participate in a variety of informal events to encourage pre-college students to consider a STEM career. I believe outreach is valuable, and that one event can be a launching point for a pre-college student to get excited about STEM, especially young girls. Often, their male peers overshadow them, so they begin to develop the mindset that they are not meant for STEM careers because they act differently from boys. I fully support girl-only outreach events. They are immersive experiences allowing girls to approach the topic in a way that is comfortable for them and allows them to gain much-needed confidence early on. Graduate school was turning out to be an enriching experience. I was enjoying my classes and teaching activities. My research was taking off, and I was learning different ways of thinking and abstracting information. Every August, I look forward to attending ASME's annual Engineering Design Technical Conferences. I learned the cadence of writing papers, and I was publishing and presenting my work. Attending conferences is important to establish yourself as a researcher within your field, and it also allows you to get to know the community. When an opportunity arose to submit my bio-inspired design research to a conference in the United Kingdom, Dr. Stone, my advisor, approved my paper submission and authorized my travel without much question. Both my papers were accepted, and I traveled to Cranfield University, about 50 miles from London, to present my work. Then, Dr. Stone announced that he had accepted a position starting in fall 2009 at Oregon State University, OSU, in Corvallis, in the Mechanical, Industrial, and Manufacturing, MIME, department. He gave each of his graduate students the option to join him at OSU, with our moving expenses paid. I was almost 2 years into my PhD studies and would be finishing up my coursework that spring. My fiancé Robert had only one more semester before he completed his PhD. Because I had a good relationship with and trusted Dr. Stone, I followed him to Oregon, as did Robert and almost all the other graduate students in the lab. I had never lived outside the Midwest, so moving to Oregon was both exciting and scary. A new university could have meant that I would be isolated, but my SWE and IEEE involvements helped me to stay connected to a national network. I was still on the SWE Conference Program Board and continued attending the annual Society Conference. In IEEE, I participated on IEEE USA's Discoveries and Breakthroughs Inside Science editorial board. I also joined a local network by getting involved with Oregon's local ASME section, allowing me to meet both students and alumni. My research at OSU changed direction slightly to focus more on the creation of design tools that facilitate bio-inspired design with application to sensors. This change turned out to be a good move and led to other opportunities. A trained EE, I was making a name for myself in the engineering design community. When we moved to Corvallis, my fiancé and I no longer had coursework to complete. We only needed to finish our research. Robert and I were able to take off a week in November 2009 and get married. In June 2010, Mr. and Mrs. Nagel graduated from the OSU Mechanical Engineering Department and became Drs. Nagel. And we each received job offers, but in different geographic locations. After weighing the options, we moved to Harrisonburg, Virginia, where Robert would join James Madison University as an assistant professor in the Department of Engineering. Graduate School Lessons. 1. Research cannot be scheduled. It happens when you ask questions, investigate, apply, and learn. As someone who likes to schedule everything and make lists of tasks to check off as completed, this lesson was tough for me to get beyond. Now, I start with motivating research questions and just see where the research takes me. 2. Many crises occur constantly and are normal. Ask around. Just embrace whatever comes your way and remain flexible. 3. Two critical decisions will define whether your graduate school experience will be successful. First, your research area. It should excite you. Your research area is your chance to specialize. It won't define your career, but it will be an expertise you become known for. And second, your advisor. He or she should be someone you can work with, not for, and trust. A good advisor will mentor you and help you build lasting relationships within the research community. 4. Develop a network of graduate student peers outside your research group. They're who you'll rant to, discuss ideas with, ask for feedback on your writing or presentations, and will keep you grounded. 5. Changing your last name doesn't mean all your publications under your maiden name are not yours anymore. Choose what you want, not what society tells you. 6. If you're interested in teaching, get some experience before accepting an academic position. 7. Withdrawing from a course does not mean failure. It means you recognized your own limitations, assessed the situation, and made decisions that helped you stay productive. And 8. The letters on your degree do not define who you are or what you can do. Your experience and expertise defines what you can do. My PhD is in mechanical engineering, and my MS is in manufacturing engineering, but I am not a mechanical engineer. I am an electrical engineer with multidisciplinary training and experience in manufacturing and engineering design. Postgraduate years. Receiving my PhD was a major life accomplishment, something I had never dreamed I could or would do. I amazed myself. But afterward, my goal shifted. I wanted to apply my multidisciplinary engineering knowledge and experience to drive engineering innovation in manufacturing automation and control, sensors, and system design. Moving to Virginia without a job felt uncomfortable, and after working so hard for the past 10 years, I did not know what to do with my free time. Dr. Stone recommended me for a one-year DARPA-funded project on design validation. After verification and a short phone interview, I got a job with Mission Critical Technologies, MCT, in California. I worked from home with regular travel to California, and I applied my ability to think at multiple levels of abstraction, my engineering design knowledge, and my problem-solving ability. As a contractor for MCT, I worked with a multidisciplinary team of engineers, computer scientists, and military leaders, which helped me hone my systems thinking and integration abilities. But it was a one-year contract. So, during my free time, I applied for academic positions. I accepted an offer from James Madison University, JMU, Department of Engineering, where I would again work on the same team as Robert. Soon afterward, Dr. Steve Watkins, my former electrical engineering PhD advisor at UMR, asked whether he could nominate me for the National Engineers Week Foundation's 2012 New Faces of Engineering Award. A few months later, I was notified that I would represent IEEE USA in 2012 for my pioneering research in bio-inspired sensors and processes. National recognition, plus a full-page ad in USA Today for my research and accomplishments, was an amazing feeling. My family was so proud of me, and they and I still display that newspaper page. That recognition has also broadened my network on a global scale and provided me with new opportunities. I am grateful for the people who have helped me to excel and those who recognize my potential along the way. If it were not for the professors I had in class or as a student organization advisor as an undergraduate at UMR, I may not have made it to where I am now. I chose academia because I enjoy sharing my excitement about my interests with students and getting them interested. I also find it rewarding to work with my students and help them learn, and I like connecting people with opportunities. On the research side, I have many unanswered questions, and I want the freedom to explore them. Academia provides the right level of challenge to keep me engaged and allows me to explore my curiosities. It also utilizes my multidisciplinary background. JMU's non-discipline-specific engineering program challenges me to draw on all my background training and experience. I teach a variety of courses, including sophomore and junior design, circuits and instrumentation, systems analysis, and sensors and automation, spanning sophomore to senior years. I also engage students in independent studies when they want to explore or research a topic for which I have knowledge. Outside the classroom, I continue to be involved with outreach events and giving back to the community. I also involve my students in outreach activities to provide them with the opportunity to inspire and engage pre-college students in engineering. It's doubly rewarding to see my students excel in developing themselves as leaders while also watching pre-college students have fun and enjoy learning about engineering. I must admit, I was not prepared for the administrative and managerial duties of an academic position. All the work that happens outside the classroom, such as scheduling meetings, grading, advising students, writing recommendation letters, writing and submitting grant proposals, and attending committee meetings and departmental faculty meetings. But I've learned to do it all. Since joining the JMU faculty, I've succeeded by getting involved, joining committees both inside and outside the department, attending pedagogy-focused workshops, and joining the Madison Teaching Fellows Program, a small, highly focused faculty learning community. I also joined the SWE Women in Academia group and began meeting both U.S. and worldwide faculty. At the local level, I'm faculty advisor for JMU's SWE Collegiate Section, which helps me stay connected to the students and their interests. I continue to attend SWE's annual society conferences to keep up with professional development trends and stay connected to the broader SWE community. Despite all of these involvements, I'm conscious of avoiding too many commitments and keeping life in balance. In 2013, I was selected to attend the 2013 National Academy of Engineering's Frontiers of Engineering Education meeting in Irvine, California, and share my teaching innovation: the development of an innovative, multidisciplinary course in systems analysis. I brought home pages of advice and ideas from this fantastic experience, and the validation and encouragement I received from the other engineering educators also made me realize the value of my efforts. Without a graduate program at the university, I involve undergraduates in my research in bio-inspired sensor design and sustainable energy solutions design. Combining my interests in automation and control systems, biomimicry, and sensors, I'm charting my own path while also collaborating with faculty across our campus and within other institutions. Postgraduate lessons learned. 1. PhD training is more than just a narrow field of research you focused on. It's about tenacity, setting a plan, and following through, using engineering and scientific judgment as well as documentation. A PhD shows you are an expert learner who can develop a plan that addresses the questions. It does not mean you are prepared to teach or go into industry. 2. As an engineering educator, a systems perspective helps me to craft not just a set of lectures, but also a story that weaves together all the concepts and relates these concepts across curriculum topics. And 3. Collaborative research relationships do not happen quickly. Developing them can take years, depending on the department and institutional focus. Parting words of wisdom. Only through the reflection it took to write this ebook have I realized the huge influence those 2 years of community college had on my life. It's difficult to believe how much I have grown since then, both personally and professionally. For example, when I was running for a position on the Phi Kappa Theta Executive Board, I remember bursting into tears in the middle of my speech because I was so nervous, and the audience was people I already knew well. But I collected myself and finished my speech, and after that, I took pains to take on roles requiring me to speak before an audience. Through practice and determination, I improved. Now I speak before people regularly. I see it as an opportunity to share my ideas and views, as well as to teach. Phi Kappa Theta inspired me in other ways, and I still live its 4 hallmarks: fellowship, service, scholarship, and leadership. I believe you should first define what success means to you, and then go after it. Don't worry about what others think or if you are on the right track. Only you can answer that question, and it will be different for everyone. Taking the initiative and working toward your vision of success, while acknowledging those who helped you along the way, will take you where you want to be. I am grateful for all those who supported me along my twisted, winding career path, and I have let them know it. I continue to be grateful those people are still in my life. Life lessons learned. 1. Knowing your strengths and weaknesses will guide you to the right opportunities. It will also prepare you to answer the question, why should I not hire you? 2. Not succeeding the first time is a failure only if you don't learn from it. If you learn from your mistakes or setbacks, it was time well spent. 3. Follow your curiosities. Things will stay challenging and interesting. Plus, you'll never have a dull moment. And 4. Whether they're family or friends, a support system of some sort helps. A lot. In my case, my family became my biggest cheerleaders. About the author. Jacqueline K. Nagel is an assistant professor of engineering in the Department of Engineering at James Madison University in Harrisburg, Virginia. Her background and experience include biologically inspired design, biomimicry, engineering design methods, industrial automation, sensors, and rapid manufacturing. Nagel's long-term research goal is to drive innovation by applying her multidisciplinary expertise to design, instrumentation, analysis, manufacturing, and educational challenges. In 2012, she was recognized as the IEEE and IEEE USA New Face of Engineering for her pioneering research in bio-inspired sensors and processes. Dr. Nagel has a PhD in mechanical engineering from Oregon State University and both an MS in manufacturing engineering and a BS in electrical engineering from Missouri University of Science and Technology, formerly University of Missouri-Rolla. An IEEE member, she belongs to the IEEE Instrumentation and Measurement Society and the IEEE Life Sciences community. She is also involved with the IEEE Membership and Geographic Activities Awards and Recognition Committee and chairs the Award Descriptions Criteria Subcommittee. In the Society of Women Engineers, Nagel is the faculty advisor to the JMU Society of Women Engineers Collegiate Section, chair of the Women in Academia Committee, Member-at-Large Secretary, and Region E Member-at-Large Representative. Dr. Nagel can be reached at nageljk@jmu.edu. You've been listening to Women in Engineering, Book 4, Follow Your Curiosities, Finding Success Through Learning, by Jacqueline K. Nagel, Ph.D., read for you by Kat Lukabaugh.